This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Al Schultz. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
What you need to learn is that this is my house.
Spud.
Look into my eyes when I tell you that, thank God, I'm an ass!
Will.
Hey, yo.
Mace.
As everyone knows, that I am the most powerful force both the ring, nevermore.
And the Omega.
I'm the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join the club, we've got jackets.
Yeah, baby.
OWW Radio.
This pay-per-view was absolutely retarded. Welcome to OWW Radio, man. It's absolutely cool. We got the WTR guys we invited tonight. I'm Nick Anthony.
Nick Anthony.
I said that.
Nick Anthony.
Well, you shut up, man. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Of course, joined with along with me all the time is my co-host, Alan Wojcik.
Hi there. Wow, was that I'm so glad I had a power failure in Tampa, Florida here, because I was told I got saved from watching that pay-per-view.
Man, I tell you, man, I don't know what happened to the writing on this, man. It was really, it was bad, man.
Well, I mean, everyone that was online told me that the rest of this paper, I saw the last three matches, saw Sheamus knocking Triple H out, and I guess that was like for the 23rd time in that match, so I'm not really sure either. It must have been jet lag from overseas that they decided, yeah, we're just going to mail it in.
Well, I don't know, man, but I think they should check out what they're smoking, man. And I ain't lying.
You got the wrong company, man. Nobody smokes in the WWE.
Well, maybe they should start. I don't know. I was watching it because I don't watch any wrestling, you know, man.
What do you mean you don't watch wrestling? You're on a wrestling show with me and Aaron Kendrick, Nick. You've been watching wrestling. You told me you watch wrestling the whole time, man.
Oh,
so
man. I'm stuck on that Wrestlelicious, man. This is great stuff, I'll tell you. It's just awesome. By the way, everybody, I just want to let you know you're listening to OWW Radio. I'm Nick Anthony.
Nick Anthony.
Will you get out of here? God, who is that guy? I don't know, but he doesn't shut up, man. I don't know. We invited the WTR guys. We got that guy, Will. I don't want to really talk to him because, you know, his generation ruins wrestling, I think.
How old is Will? I'm not 100% sure on the age of the WTR guys. I know how old Tim is, and I know that Mace and Spug are both wrestlers in their own right, so I don't understand how you're ripping on people's ages, man.
I don't know, man, but you know, this new generation, they don't know anything about wrestling, man.
You know, Tim, your constant bashing of Nick is not going to, you know, help him make the decision to come debate me, asshole.
Wait, that wasn't Nick?
All right, officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a extreme edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I just want to let everybody know, yeah, you know, Nick Anthony, if you're tuned in, we're just having a little bit of fun. Don't take it the wrong way. Just take it.
Yeah, I'm going to hell for this one. Thanks a lot, Tim Stein.
You didn't do a damn thing, Alan. You just kind of sort of sat there. So if he picks
on
you...
Like I do on Tuesday night, so...
Yeah, you know, like you do on Tuesday night. It's not anything different. So if he picks on you, you let me know, and we'll take care of him for you. We'll get the boys together. Hey, everybody, got the usual cast of subjects along with us, this bug guy in Ohio, the mace thing from the land down under, Will, and of course, the Omega Man, who actually got a night off from the intros tonight. Guys, pay-per-view sucked. Sorry. We're done.
It did
thanks
suck.
Thanks for tuning in. Fuck math.
I will say this. I will say this. It was better than lockdown.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to disagree with your ass.
Yeah,
right there. Lockdown may have been confusing and a clusterfuck, but it was 100 times more fucking entertaining than extremely boring. I mean, Extreme Rules. I think the first one was more right.
But that brought up, I brought that up on the OWW Radio the night, and I kind of brought it up here with you guys last week. How the heck are you going to pull off a quote-unquote Extreme Rules pay-per-view when you ban blood, you ban chair shots to the head, you pretty much turned it into like a PG version of any ECW or pay-per-view, and judging from what you guys were telling me and like a catch-up for me, like I said, I got into, thanks to being a part of the Lightning Capital of the world, hence why the team's called the Tampa Bay Lightning, I came in during watching them cart Triple H out to whatever movie he's going to make that he took Batista's spot. So, I mean, I'm going to step back for a second because I only saw three matches, so you guys can kill this pay-per-view all you want. It's your show.
Well, I've got an answer for you there, Alan. You asked how they could do it without chair shots to the head and blood? Quite easy. Duct tape.
Yeah, that had to be one of the most amazing endings. That
duct
was a better
tape
ending than lockdown.
Duct tape fixes everything, even matches.
I was just about to say the same thing, Mace.
Yeah.
Look. You know, for everybody who's turned to TNA and thinks it's great, fine for you. Look. Most of the pay-per-view was absolute shit. Absolute shit. F. Until you get to the last two matches. And they were both A's because of fucking duct tape and Chris Jericho.
That women's match was pretty brutal.
The women's match was actually the highlight of the match until halfway through the cage match. You guys, you have to admit that.
The women's match is actually pretty good. So the last three matches, look, the pay-per-view went from an F, which we all gave lockdown last week, to a D-, which makes it better than lockdown.
I still say that lockdown was overall more entertaining, despite the fact that it was a clusterfuck. You know, compared to this pay-per-view was able to make lockdown look good.
Well, is this a situation where they need to just stop doing this one week after another crap and do one at the beginning of the month and one at the other end of the month so they can go, okay, well, yeah, this is what they did wrong. Let's make sure we don't do that.
It might be a better idea to have the majority of a month and change between pay-per-views.
What they need to do is go back to 6 or 8 pay-per-views a year and quit this one-a-month bullshit for one, and two, actually go back to pay-per-views. I mean, really, this...
It's supposed to be better than the stuff we're watching for free every week. It's not supposed to be the same stuff, just charged up to $40.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Both companies are seemingly suffering from the same thing lately. All right, we're getting 5-star shows for free on network or cable TV, and we're getting bullshit job shows that they're expecting us to pay upwards of $50 for. Perfect case in point, lockdown. My God, you know, I call it a clusterfuck, and I will still call it a clusterfuck, but it looks great in comparison to what we saw tonight. However, Monday night, the next night, TNA Impact was extremely off the hook, and that should have been their lockdown pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's been happening for a while now, Tim. The part of the problem with both companies is that I know TNA only has one, but WWE has what, four or five now of these specialized pay-per-views where they're gimmick pay-per-views. That's all they are. And you gotta get away from it. You have to stop it. The only reason that there should be a gimmick pay-per-view, and the only one that matters, is the Royal Rumble. That's it. That's it. Let ECW die. Quit pissing on its legacy. Quit shitting on it to make it as if it never existed, for one. You know, you don't need a War Games pay-per-view. You don't need to change Backlash and make an all-Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. You don't need any of that. Go 6 pay-per-views a year, quit giving out pay-per-views on free television, and go back to an actual fucking build-up for a pay-per-view, for Christ's sakes!
Yeah, well, you've got to accept the fact that they're not going to back down to 6 to 8 pay-per-views. You're going to get around 12 from WWE every year. It's going to happen. I mean, they're making more money. Again, here it just goes back to what I've been saying ever since I wrote that column back in 2002. Less is more. They're making more revenue over 12 months by having half the number of people buy all these 12 pay-per-views than they were making having, you know, the bigger crowd buy the fewer pay-per-views. And when you let the bean counters dictate shit like this to you, the bean counters, the accountants, the people in charge of your money and your finances, oh, you know, the bottom line is you're making more money at the end of the fiscal year than you were over there. Never mind that your weekly ratings are dropping, and they're continuing to plateau at like 3.4, 3.5, and you're only selling 155,000, 255,000 buys on your pay-per-view when you can get 300,000 buys. You know, so that being the case, you're stuck with 12 fucking pay-per-views.
Tim, you also have to go back to the fact that when they had 6 to 8, they were only charging $23 or $25 on that pay-per-view. They weren't charging $40 or $50 or $60 for a WrestleMania.
Yeah,
less money. You can charge...
Hold it. Your point is taken, however, adjust for inflation, because that's the reason for the rate increase, is quote-unquote inflation. And let's face it, $5 today was worth $7.50 back, you know, 10 years ago.
Okay, take 6 to 8 pay-per-views. Charge $40. I guarantee you more people buy them. You go back to the old style of booking. You go back to the old style of booking. You make 6 to 8 pay-per-views a year, and you charge $40, people will buy it. Hence the reason why UFC is outselling WWE and TNA, because they know how to book. It may be real as shit, but they know how to book.
But at the same time, UFC is a lot better overall. You know, yeah, maybe it's the booking and the storyline and the storytelling and the fact that it's not, you know, fake, if you'll excuse the bullshit word. You know, it's not predetermined. It's real, you know. Yeah, and UFC, quote-unquote, is not competition for WWE and vice versa. Just ask Dana White and Vince McMahon, and they'll say, yeah, no, we're not in competition. And technically, you know, they both have a point, because it's two different types of sports entertainment.
Exactly.
It's real, you know, it's real fighting versus fake fighting. And you've got real fighting fans, and you got guys who like their fighting fake. And then you've got both. And that's the people that you have to please. Not the one or the other, but the both. Because these guys are not going to be dropping down $110 a month on both pay-per-views. So you have got to give them something good. Not what we saw tonight. What we saw tonight was absolute shit. Now, Mace, do you have anything you want to talk about concerning tonight's pay-per-view?
Batista fears duct tape.
Okay, listen.
Seriously, WrestleMania was Batista likes fish sticks. This pay-per-view was Batista fears duct tape. Next pay-per-view, I have no idea what they're going to come up with, but fuck, it's going to be funny.
Okay, I think the duct tape finish was brilliant, and it would have been more accepted if it was somebody like Edge and Jericho, with Jericho using the duct tape.
Yeah, I think that was the main fault was that it's supposed to be Cena. I mean, we call him Superman for a reason. It's not just because he gets, just for some reason he pops up every time you count to 9. The guy could be You could be at Cena's funeral. He could be in the casket, and if you counted to 10, he'd pop out of it at 9. but it doesn't scream heroic or triumphant or top face to go such a cheap route to win a match. It was brilliant as hell. It was funny, but it wasn't a triumphant victory.
Let me ask you this. 3 years ago, when he was doing the Thugonomics gimmick, if he had fought Batista in the Last Man Standing match and wrapped his ankles with duct tape, would we be having this conversation?
No, because that would be in character.
To be honest, if it was the other way around, if it was Batista wrapping Cena's feet up in duct tape, we wouldn't be having this conversation either.
Yeah, it'd be the most brilliant heel move of all time.
Exactly. I don't understand it. We've seen heel-like moves from Cena before when he was a face. He's done it, and yes, the majority of them came in the Thugonomics gimmick, but I don't see why he can't go back to that from time to time.
Well, it just seems to me that with the character he's been playing now, and especially the way that match was, I mean, he tries to make him pass out with the SDF, he drops him through the announcer's table. I mean, the guy does absolutely everything he can think of, and instead of coming up with something even harder that he can hit him with, he goes the cheap way. You know, it's basically admitting, I cannot put this guy down, I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna take the easy way out.
That's kinda how it felt for me watching. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but it almost felt like, top this type thing. I can do this. Boom. Well, I can do this. Boom. It almost felt like watching the old Mad Magazine Spy vs. Spy stuff.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Pretty much, yeah.
I can do match was anything you can do, I can do better. The whole match was that.
Well, that's the way any Last Man Standing match works. I mean, you go through, okay, here's a spot. Oh, okay, that was okay, but here's a bigger spot, you know. And you just one-up each other until something absolutely kills the other guy.
Yeah, I have no problem with the way Cena ended that match. Absolutely none. I thought it was genius. It worked. It got the point across. I mean, he won. And especially with the little "you can't see me" at the end.
That was hilarious. That's the one time I liked that gesture.
It worked. I mean, how many times do we bag on Cena and bag on WWE for little to no psychology and little to no booking that makes any sense? That one made some sense.
And then their last two matches had that. The cage match had a lot of that going on too. It took me a minute to catch on to you guys in the pre-show chatter about the Superman stuff, because they're going, neither one of these guys are anywhere near a Superman quality. Then I caught on to the gag. I thought the last two matches, from the way you guys are talking, probably saved this pay-per-view. I'm kind of glad I didn't see the other ones, but...
The women's match was good.
But this leads to a great question. I don't know if this is on your sheet for later on. The rumor that this was Batista's last weekend, that he's taking his ball and going home, is... does he show up on TV tomorrow night and have his own little farewell, or was this his last night on WWE television? And this is the way they got rid of him, instead of, like, when they dumped Eric Bischoff into a dump truck, here we tied your legs together, and we should have taped your mouth over, too, because you guys bash him for his promos all the time, so, I mean, could that be, like, a sign to come?
Yeah, well, one thing about the WWE, when they get rid of a wrestler, you know, they do it right. Generally, the guy or gal goes out on their back, and there's no post-match speech. Oh, I'm going to step back for a bit, rest, recover, come back, focus on the title. Yeah, you know, bullshit. And we talked about this last week with Lockdown. Sure, Angle wins. We all said he's going to win. And then I said, and you guys said, and everybody agreed, fine, Angle wins, but... Kennedy, Anderson, whatever, should kick the shit out of him and leave him in a pool of his own blood. Instead, we get the speech at the top of the ramp. You don't fucking do that.
No. Absolutely not. It makes the whole thing look awful. But this is WWE we're talking about. You know, if they think it's a funny way of getting rid of a wrestler, they'll do it. I mean, they FedExed the Spirit Squad away, didn't they?
Yeah, they packed them up in a FedEx box and sent them to OVW, if I remember correctly. And what the hell? That's what happens with 15,000 things go on at once. Yeah,
I think it was simulating that they were put on a train in nowhere.
Yeah, crazy train. So, so you know, yeah, I'm sorry. The pay-per-view didn't do anything for me, and there's no way in hell I'd pay money for it. Let's take a really quick look at what happens. That the very beginning, Triple H gets attacked in the back, and he's got a concussion or a fucked up left arm, and he's got nerve damage, yada, yada, yada. Oh, here's the big build-up. Here's the big build-up. Will he show up to actually face Sheamus in the ring, or will the doctors not let him wrestle? Well, you know, here we go. The Miz and the Big Show with Teddy Long going back and forth, and Miz proves that he can't shut his mouth up long enough for Teddy to run out of tag teams to face them in a gauntlet-style tag match. Here it is, not for the titles, but for the number one contendership to be fought tomorrow night on free TV. Okay, now, I'm just gonna do this really, really fast. It's, you know, Tim Stein's rant time. Here it is. Here it is. People are shitting on TNA all the time for doing shit like this. Okay, you have a big clusterfuck and a mashup, and it makes an absolute, you know, it's a typical Russo book pay-per-view. It makes no fucking sense. Title doesn't change hands, or the title's not on the line, or whatever. And then the next night on the free show on Impact, then you have your title match, and the title changes hands, and everybody gets to watch it for free. Oh, didn't that happen at Lockdown? And then Monday night we saw RVD win the title off of AJ Styles. Huh, you know, WWE, are you taking a page out of TNA's book? Because if you are, you're not going to make yourself better. You're going to make them better by making yourself look worse.
No,
it's
no,
absolutely fucking retarded. Hang on a second. Let me finish. Okay, make the fucking belts mean something again, okay? Don't use them as props, for Christ's sakes. The belts are something that should be held onto and treated like real gold, precious metal, and defended, all of them, defended, not on free TV. Well, they shouldn't change hands on free TV. They should, if there's going to be a title change, it should be done on a pay-per-view. And, you guys, we were talking about, you know, Beth Phoenix crying because she won the championship. She's won it before, but yeah, never as a face. Will, you said something to the effect that, you know, everybody should treat a title win the way Beth Phoenix did, with that type of reaction. That was you, wasn't it, Will?
Yeah, that was me.
You know, and you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. It's just fucking retarded. What the hell is this? Sure, run a gauntlet match. Have all of these guys actually try to win the belts. You get a more entertaining match that way. And then the last team that comes out, coincidentally being the Hart Dynasty, led by Bret the Hitman Hart, WWE Hall of Famer. And then they win not the number one contendership, but the fucking titles. This is dumb.
By the way, I blame Goldberg and Hogan for this.
End of rant.
I blame Hogan and Goldberg for this. The night that Goldberg won the WCW World Title on Monday Night Nitro when he beat Hogan, I blame for this, because they could have put that on a pay per view and just did everything right there, because that would have fucking outdone anything WWE could have done for the year. But they put it on free television, and now WWE has done the same thing for years afterward.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but back in the day, that was, hey, here's ratings, bam, popped. Now, WWE don't even consider TNA competition. They have no reason to start throwing title matches on TV for ratings.
Well, the whole idea is it's WWE. Anything can happen. So every now and then, okay, throw a title win on free TV where you don't expect it. I mean, if it gets too formulated, you know that nothing is going to happen until you actually have to pay to see it. And that doesn't work for the TV show. But that's not even the problem here. WWE has been doing this for years now, where instead of a number one contendership, they'll do it, okay, you face the champion, and if you beat him, then you get a title shot. And that doesn't make a fuck bit of sense. It's just, it's artificially creating a feud, and it's forcing something that should be built up. I mean, if you have a boxing match and you have the champion versus a challenger, you don't tell the challenger, hey, if you beat the champion, you'll get a shot to take his championship in a month or so. No, he's the fucking champion. You beat the champion. There's no need to go and do it again just to win his belt. You did it. You proved you were better. That should be it.
End of story, end of discussions. There we go. So, you know, taking a real quick look at the pay-per-view, The Miz and The Big Show faced the first team of the night, and that happens to be John Morrison, and you call him R. Crispy because of what happened with the MacGruber thing last Monday night, R-Truth. And the winner is...
The guy looks great for somebody who got blew up last Monday night.
Is it just me, or does he look blacker?
Nah, it's hard to tell.
Well, in TNA, it was called the Suntan Superman, so who knows?
There you go. Yeah, okay, so Miz and Big Show win via DQ. Morrison makes himself look like a real tart by not letting go of the submission hold that he had applied to Big Show over the ropes.
Yeah, stupid, stupid thing. Very, very stupid.
An even shorter matchup, The Miz and Big Show now face Mark Henry and MVP. Big Show's trying to work out the kinks from being bent over the top rope, and MVP goes in for the kill, and with the two count gets thrown off of Big Show, and of course goes flying halfway across the ring. And the big boot from Big Show when he stands up lays out Mark Henry. There's your pin onto MVP. 1, 2, 3, bada bing, bada boom. Then
yep,
the music hits.
But we know why that one was quick. Because tonight's pay-per-view was sponsored by KFC. We know where Henry went.
Oh, there you go. That's why it was a quick
game. Yeah, he had to go to KFC after the event because he couldn't go to a bar.
Yeah, what's the name of that new chicken sandwich they got where they got the two chicken
double
breasts?
Down.
Oh my god.
So big there's no room for a bun. Oh, hey!
Awesome.
Check it out. Look who is in the chat. Haven't seen this name in ages. The Untold Aussie. Welcome back. Good to see you in the chat room, man.
Yes, there's everybody more than like two Australians around this network.
Yes, well, everybody say welcome back to Untold Aussie because it's been a while.
Go okay. away.
Don't be rude. That's Spug's job.
Be nice to the chat room.
Yeah, don't be rude. That's Spug's job. And this isn't really OWW Radio, Will. It really is Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, we're allowed to have fun on this show.
Oh, shit. I'm going to be in so much trouble come Tuesday. Anyway, so Hart Dynasty with, what the hell? The heart attack. Boom. And
really?
yeah, really? Where it called the heart attack?
Copyright that fast, dude.
There you go. Just like that, bada bing, bada boom, with the pin on Miz, and they wind up being the number one contenders to fight for the tag title tomorrow night during the 3-hour long Raw draft special.
Yeah, have them win the belts and then break the team up. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
best part of this match was Miz still talking with Big Show's mouth over his hand, or hand over his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Good.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so moving on, CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio. And the build-up, it's been the build-up, and it was even teased on on Raw, as a matter of fact, with Punk losing a part of his locks. Now, who says last Monday's Raw wasn't really entertaining with the Raw cast stuck in Europe? It was actually entertaining.
Last Monday's Raw was actually pretty good. I enjoyed the promo by Triple H, but I tell you what,
that was good. There's never been any chemicals near my hair. Chemicals? You mean like soap and shampoo?
Well, the whole promo, the whole long promo that he did was actually extremely entertaining. But
I missed the first part of it.
The ending to this match was one of those, why the fuck did they do this? It would have been better to have Mysterio win, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
It would have been better if Mysterio would have won and got to shave Punk's head, because then you have more steam heading into the final match of the feud, if they're only going to go three matches with it. Because you think about it. At WrestleMania, it was, if Mysterio loses, he has to join the Straight Edge Society.
Yep. Okay?
He won that. I think by DQ, but he won it. And then tonight, Straight Edge Society gets ejected from ringside. You have CM Punk there, and you have whoever it was come out of the ring and help Punk. But it would have been better if Mysterio beat Punk and shaved his head. You go into the third one, and you know, you have Punk, every time I've turned around, you've humiliated me. I tried to make your life better. You know, I lost at Mania. You know, I put my hair on the line. You embarrassed me there. You know, so on and so forth. It would have made a better payoff for the final match if Mysterio would have won. And one of those booking where I'm just like, why? Why did they do that?
Now see, I disagree there, because we're going to have a blow-off match between these two where it's going to be both stipulations. Well, I could picture it more mask versus hair in for the next one, rather than joining the Straight Edge Society. But the whole idea of this has been, will he lose it? No, he doesn't. Okay, then go to Punk. Will he lose his hair? No, he won't. So you have the blow-off match where something will be lost. Will be a consequence.
No, I don't think that it's just one more match. I think they're going to have a couple of more matches. I think that this feud is going to go on for a little while. Anyway, CM Punk wins with the help of interference from the mysterious under the ring. Obvious new member of the Straight Edge Society. I'm saying it's Joey Mercury. A lot of people are saying it's Joey Mercury. It's probably Mercury.
It's your mom.
It's not my mom. It might be your mom. Next match is a strap match. JTG versus Chad Gaspar. JTG wins. Not a big deal.
By the way, where was WWE's Don't Do That guy when they put two black guys in a match with a leather strap?
I don't know, but that match...
Spud keeps beating me to all the jokes I want to make.
Yeah, no, but... Watching that match just for some reason reminded me of the NFL. It's the only time you'll ever see a black guy chasing a white guy in a whole, like 50,000 people in the stands cheering him on.
That was a low blow.
So JTG wins. Yahoo, congratulations. Randy Orton versus Jack Swagger. Okay, Spug, you pointed this out in the production chat. Jack Swagger, the champion, getting jobbed on regular TV, and he retains the title at the pay-per-view. I'm sorry, he doesn't look like a champion to me. And I don't know about his credibility. I really don't. His wins against, Edge and Christian and whatever, on free TV were all, taking advantage of opportunities. But, this match, he actually, won. There was no opportunity for him to take advantage of. He wins. He beats Orton. Orton RKO Swagger, and out comes Sheamus to the ring. And there's a stare down between Orton and Sheamus.
It's your next feud.
That's going to be the
meh.
Yeah, big bunch of, whatever, we'll wait for that to happen next month. Triple H, despite everybody saying, you can't wrestle, don't go into the ring, yada, 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 and Todd Grisham in the back, yeah, word says he's not going to wrestle. Out comes Triple H, he makes it to the ring. Nothing special. Triple H, really good at pretending he's hurt, and he looked like he remembered for most of the match what part of his body was supposed to be injured.
He needs to record a seminar and just send it to everyone in the wrestling world on how to fucking sell.
I was just about to say the same thing. If anybody in the chat room or listens to the archive is thinking about getting into the wrestling industry or is in the business, watch that match and learn how to fucking sell. Because he put on a clinic.
He did. And that was kind of my point, sort of. So tomorrow night for the draft, expect Sheamus is a SmackDown roster member because he's got the world title. Expect him to be drafted to Raw.
You mean Swagger?
Yeah, Swagger. That's what I meant.
The man who gets buried as a champion. Okay, next.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And speaking about next,
I would love.
Quickly, Omega. Go ahead.
Okay. No, what match are we at now?
Talking about Sheamus and Triple H.
We're at the match that we all went to the bathroom.
No, what? Oh, no.
Is that coming from Alan? That thunder?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm in the lightning capital of the world, man. I'm getting bombarded again. We've been thunderstorming since about 6 o'clock and lost the power at 7 o'clock, and it came back at 9 o'clock. So it's like, oh, great, here we go again.
There you are.
All right, so we know what happens if his line just dies. He got hit by lightning.
Or something like
pretty
that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Sorry, Omega.
That's all right.
Go, Omega.
I would love this if the whole feud between Sheamus and Orton was all about Orton going, you know, it took you 5 kicks to put someone out. It takes me 1.
Good point.
I just want to point this out quickly. Anybody who is deciding to get into wrestling, do yourself a favor. Avoid Kane shots. Just take a look at Sheamus's back at the end of the match. That shit was brutal.
The only time you'll ever see color on that boy's skin.
I was waiting for one of us to make that joke, and you guys didn't get the board.
I found an old picture of Sheamus where he actually has a tan, by the way.
Sheamus with a tan? You're kidding.
Mm-mm. I don't know if it's spray on or not. It doesn't look spray on. It's not orange enough. It looks like the man has a tan.
Ah, it's photoshopped. So Sheamus beats Triple H, takes 4 kicks to the head. Triple H stumbles out of the ring afterwards, and after 4 kicks to the head, he's walking out. But he gets waylaid by Sheamus. The 5th kick finally puts him on the stretcher.
That's the one to send him to the movie set tomorrow morning. Like, hey, you look great on TV. Yeah, let's just get this over with so I can get home to the wife.
Yeah, up next, the kitchen sink match. Michelle McCool versus Beth Phoenix for the Women's Championship title.
The highlight of the night so far.
How dare you call Michelle McCool a kitchen sink, man?
Yeah, okay. Who's been writing material for Alan? Anyway, this match reminded me a little bit of Jeff Jarrett taking on China. It had, an ironing board and, what else was in there? You know, like things that were stereotypical women's work stuff.
The cheap dollar store makeup?
Yeah, all over the ground there, the dollar store stuff.
Vicky Guerrero with the worst broom shots ever.
Oh, okay, Vicky Guerrero, broom. Gotta give Cole credit for that one.
Yeesh.
See, is it just me that kind of finds... Is it just me that finds this kind of sexist that, okay, the women have to have a makeup table, a mop, and a ironing board instead of tables and kendo sticks? You know, we can't have, like, real written feuds. We have to, you know, they have to call each other fat, you know, and just... menial childhood insults. And, oh, Mark Henry can get arrested and he works the pay-per-view. Mickey James is late for a bus and she's fired.
Yeah, well, reports
were saying... what did Henry get arrested for? Did he hold up a KFC because they ran out of drumsticks?
That was a rumor overseas that nobody's ever, like, clarified. Have we ever pinned that story down as being 100% legit that he got into it with a fan in a hotel lobby?
No,
it
was
legit that he got into it with a fan, but the ramifications of it are unknown.
Yeah, there's no verification of it, and it could be a case, you know, similar to what happened to Jericho out in British Columbia a couple of years back. The fan making a bigger deal out of it than the fan has a right to make out of it. And it was probably instigated by the fan, and you know, Mark Henry just reacted, as opposed to initiating by throwing the drink in his face. But I'm getting kind of hang on, you know, I just where it loses credibility
is the report that Chavo Guerrero was egging on Mark Henry to go after the Finn. Go ahead, Spug.
If you're going to pick a fight with Mark Henry, you either need to be twice as big as he is, hopped up on meth, or dumb as fuck. Because nobody in their right mind is going to go after that man. That dude's arm is bigger than my fucking head.
I like that Chavo's Twitter said if he really wanted to egg Mark Henry on to kill somebody, why hadn't he sicked him on the writing team?
Okay, so let's bury Chavo for the next 6 months.
Really? Can they really bury like him anymore?
The dude hasn't worked in how long?
Okay, well, we'll just tack it on to...
When's the last time Hornswoggle was around?
Yeah, we'll just tack it on to the end of his burial in the company, and we'll just, you know, extend it that length of time, you know, have it served consecutively as opposed to concurrently. So, here it is, Beth Phoenix, new women's champion, and kudos to Beth Phoenix for making it actually seem like it mattered, as opposed to all the other title changes that have been happening for the last several years, where it's, yeah, whatever. Next
her
match,
and Christian.
Yeah. Next match, Edge versus Chris Jericho. Starting off slow with a good build-up. They told a great story in the ring. The one thing that was the stumbler for me was Jericho. He's out on the second step. Decides to go back in. That it was just too slow after the build-up and the slow build of speed and pacing in the match.
Well, one of you guys actually said in the chat, they were like, I hope he doesn't fall off them stairs and end the match early.
That was me, yeah. I had to laugh my ass off having you slipped off the steel stairs.
Yeah. No, I believe the Kurt Angle
did last week. Mace said it best. Mace and I both said it best. Can we end a fucking cage match where somebody escapes the fucking cage?
There you go. So, the winner on this one, Edge, and as promised, Edge didn't try to escape the cage. Okay, there you go. Now we get to the main event, Batista versus John Cena, and here is the innovative use of the duct tape.
Awesome.
After how many times did we see John Cena pull off the Superman dead to the world by the count of 8 3/4, and before the 10, he's back on his feet, and it takes him less than a second after supposedly being laid out like nuts.
I've never seen something so badly done. Oh, hold on. 9, pop up, I'm okay.
Dude, you know what? Both of you need to shut your fucking mouth, because Batista did the same fucking thing in that match.
Not like Cena.
Dude, Cena popped up from a dead stop.
I'm dead. I've got better.
And he did the same thing. He popped up, but he would pop up and stand there and be fine. I don't want to hear it. Look, most of your bashing on Cena is legitimate for the most part. Most everybody's bashing on Cena is legitimate, but there becomes a point where it's just fucking hate.
Now, before you go any further and you lump me in with anybody who's bashing on Cena just because it's the cool thing to bash on Cena, I'll bash on Cena because it's deserved. It's, when it coming from me, not hate. I wasn't saying that Batista wasn't doing the same fucking thing. Come on, it's Cena and it's Batista. You expect a 5-star match from both of these guys who are in the ring facing off against each other? No. My point is, if you're going to sell that you're hurt like fucking crazy, and you gotta get up at the very last second to beat the 10 count, then start at, like, number 6, and don't be lying on your fucking ass until 8.5.
It almost seemed that way, that it was just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like you said earlier, it almost turned into a top this, sucker. You know, I'm going to do this. Boom. I'm going to throw a building on you. Boom. Okay. I'm going to throw two buildings on you. Boom. Okay. I'm going to fly a space shuttle into the air, dock at the space station, and then jump from there and hit you. It's like, it almost reminded me of the old McDonald's commercial where Michael Jordan and Larry Bird are playing for the hamburger.
I was just thinking that.
Like, off, off the building, off the globe, off of Vince McMahon's gonads. It's like, what's next?
Oh, yeah. Well, top duct tape.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Now, you know, anything you can do, I can do better, works with certain wrestlers, and it doesn't work so well with other wrestlers. Batista and Cena should never be involved in a I can do better than you.
Well, since both of them are so limited in their movesets, it almost comes down to, okay, who can, you know, Cena literally did come down to, how can I give an attitude adjustment to Batista harder? You know, what else can I throw him into? Okay, throw him to a table, that did nothing. I threw him to an announcer's table, that did nothing. It just, it gets to the point where it's just, do something different. I mean, one-upsmanship works when it looks clever. When it just looks like, I have no idea, so I'm just going to make sure he lands on something harder, then you're not doing it right. It's just the same old thing, and it's not a one-upsmanship. It's running out of ideas.
Basically, there's only so many things you can do when you only use four moves. Go ahead, Will.
Well, with Batista, he actually looked like he was trying to end the match. You know, I don't like Batista any more than I like Cena, but the guy actually remembered that the event itself is called Extreme Rules, and the point of the match is to put the guy down. Batista was dragging everything out, and then Cena would go, oh, here, this is convenient, and toss him onto something.
Bada bing, bada boom. Now we get to the finish, the duct tape around the ankles. And I know there are some people who did not like the finish, but guys, gals, kids, it was fucking genius.
Yeah,
it really was.
I don't think it was accepted because it was John Cena who grabbed the fucking duct tape and wrapped the duct tape around Batista. If it was, like I said, if it was Chris Jericho, it fits Jericho's character. Okay? Jericho Batista, Jericho Edge, Jericho Triple H, it doesn't matter. Somebody like Jericho, Randy Orton, whether you take Randy Orton from now, where the Viper that everybody loves versus a year ago, the Viper that everybody loves to hate, it still would work. But it doesn't fit.
No, Orton just tried to blow him up.
Okay, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit Orton's character.
It's genius. Yeah, it's genius because number one, it's something you don't expect, and number two, I think I can't be the only one who has seen that toolbox get strewn about the floor time and time again when they're looking for a wrench or a hammer or whatever one thing they're looking for. You're staring at a million little metal implements that went everywhere. Go, why not use everything else in the damn box? This is no holds barred. You've got an entire arsenal here.
But, that being said, there it is. Last man standing, John Cena, the WWE champion.
One more thing?
Well, okay, go ahead.
This isn't coming from me. My friend who lets me use her computer every week to do this show, was watching over my shoulder. And when she saw Cena's STF, she said that was the worst thing she had ever seen applied in her life. And she's just getting into wrestling.
That's because, that's a great use for duct tape if you look at the Ustream player. Good editing job, Rock. So, just as we go to break here, like I said, absolutely fucking genius using the duct tape. I gotta remember that. Because I think I might be able to use it at some point down the line. I'm sorry. It's a failing grade on my part. Alan.
I have to give it an incomplete for not seeing the rest of it, but the last two matches were very entertaining.
Okay. Spug.
Overall, I give it a D-.
Okay. Mace.
D-.
Okay. Omega.
It's a D. The only one who won here was the duct tape.
There you go. Right now, the duct tape's winning, especially if you want to know what I'm talking about. Check the Ustream player. Will!
D-.
There you go. So, yeah, like I said, this pay-per-view, extreme bullshit. And it made Lockdown look awesome. Everybody, you're listening to Roast Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're going to be coming back and getting into the WWE mock draft right on the other side of this quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional. Realist.
Genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Buck math.
Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Hey, it's Nick Anthony from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man. That's via the largest wrestling database. Worldwide, even in Canada. Ha! Come on, I'm just joking. But listen, listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there too, OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that will eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What up, Matt?
Ooh, yeah, this is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ooh, yeah, dig it!
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the first annual WTR WWE mock draft, where we decide who goes to Raw, who goes to SmackDown. We've got a couple of teams that are going to be picking on the Raw side. Who's on the Raw side?
You're the host of this thing. You don't even know that?
That would be me and Omega.
That would be Omega and Spud drafting for Raw, and Will and Mace are drafting for SmackDown. Now, once things are all said and done, Alan, our special guest host from OWW Radio Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, we're going to do a we're going to do a draft analysis of everything that goes down and. Who picks whom and how does it work out? So, what we're going to do is determine who gets first pick. And we're going to do that by tossing a coin.
How original.
And as it's in the air, the Raw team gets to call it first heads or tails. Okay, Rock, if you want to toss that coin, guys, call it in the air. Heads. And it's tails. SmackDown gets the draft first. All right. So, guys, now you know the rules. You're eligible to trade once. And everybody is up for grabs. You got 10 draft picks per side. You have 2 minutes to make your selection. And once a wrestler has been selected, they are no longer eligible to be drafted back to the brand.
Now, just my quick clarification before they go to their pick, does that mean that the 8 kids on NXT are also available, or are they not available?
We're not even touching NXT. No NXT, it's just Raw and SmackDown. Okay. And we'll take a look at what happens here. So why don't we get things underway and get ready for that first draft pick, which is awarded to Mason Will.
I'll let Mason go for the first pick.
Alrighty, our first pick for SmackDown will be the high-flying Evan Bourne.
Ooh, interesting.
Evan Bourne going to SmackDown. Well, that's kind of interesting. What do you think about this first draft pick by the SmackDown crew?
Now, if I answer this question, is everything going to go down again? Because that's what I thought happened. I thought Rockin was like, I don't want to hear you talk, Alan. Bang! And I was like, oh, crap.
No, we'll kill the stream.
Yeah, don't worry. We put duct tape on it. It's fine.
Okay. It all depends where the secondary titles stay. If a secondary title like the U.S. title or Intercontinental title stay on that show, then, yeah, this is a good pick. But as I get thunder bombing my house, that's what I first thought. I was like, I didn't get hit by
God God disagrees.
The Lord is like, no. The Lord said, no, don't mock him, even though he's Evan Bourne.
All right.
That's a Bourne mark.
There you go. The lightning strike says that it's time for the Raw crew to make their first draft pick.
The Raw team selects Chris Jericho.
Ooh.
Whoa, Chris Jericho drafted to Raw. Now this, I don't know, Chris Jericho, in my opinion, has got to be just about the top performer in the company, Alan. This might actually be a very, very good move, especially seeing that the first half of Raw is competing against the second half of TNA's Impact.
Well, you want to call it competing. I mean, now that Russo's not writing, and I think my cat is doing the writing on TNA, it'll be interesting because you immediately think of plug Jericho right into the world title picture no matter which champ ends up at the end of this draft on Raw. And like I said, he pound for pound, I hate to use that phrase, but pound for pound, he is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and he can decide. He has said it before on different occasions, say, I'll wrestle until I decide that I can't wrestle anymore. I'm not going to be dictated to anything like that. So definitely an awesome move to get Jericho over on Raw.
Okay, so Chris Jericho to Raw, I got to say I like the move. Now it's back to the SmackDown GMs and their second draft pick of the night. Who do you think they might be going after here? They already got Evan Bourne. Do you think they're going to try to make this a little bit more of an aerial attack show?
It's kind of hard to figure that one out. And it's one of those you got to figure out if they're trying to revitalize the Cruiserweight division. Because, I mean, we had a Cruiserweight division on Friday Night SmackDown, and the next thing I know, some Irish midget walked off with the belt.
Yeah, oh, hang on just a quick second, Alan. I think I see Mason Will walking up to the podium there. Yeah, it looks like they're about to take the microphone. Let's hear who they draft.
We're going to take John Cena.
Whoa. Interesting move.
John Cena going back to the place he started from.
Well, that works in the long term, because if you want to get some butts to watch this show once it moves to Sci-Fi in October, and TNA may be thinking like WCW did back in the day, the fans won't be able to find the show. It's like they don't have a TV guide in their house, but they won't be able to find it. And it's an interesting move to bring Naik. Now, obviously, the Swagger, where does Swagger end up later on here?
Yeah. Oh, hang on just a second, Alan. Looks like Will. Looks like Will might have something to say here in favor on behalf of SmackDown. Okay. Perhaps it's about his John Cena pick.
Actually, Alan pretty much nailed it. For one, Cena's been on Raw for so long that you know he's almost stale over there. But you put him on SmackDown, you're going to pop the ratings, and you've got a lot of different opportunities for different matches. The big one that they've not pulled the trigger on being Cena Undertaker.
Yeah, but how do we know that Raw is not going to come right up along and saying, so we'll see you up on that. But it also depends. How long is Taker's post-WrestleMania, I'm retiring. No, I'm not retiring. Yeah, I'm retiring. Hey, Brett Favre, are you retiring? You're not? Okay, I guess I'm coming back.
Excellent point.
This is exciting stuff.
Yeah, excellent point, Alan. Very, very good. You got to wonder what Raw is going to counter with, and we're just waiting for Spug and Omega to get up there. And here they come now. They're at the podium. Yeah, looks like they're about ready to make their next selection. Let's go down to the arena floor and hear what their decision is.
My turn.
You go ahead. I had an idea, but go ahead.
You had an idea?
I did.
They're arguing. They're arguing on live TV, Tim. Or radio.
Yeah, I hear this. Well, it is Raw. You know, anything can happen on live television Monday night. So exactly. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, you're supposed to debate this. You know,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm a little busy dealing with a bunch of shit right now. But with our next pick, I'm going to Raw is going to take Christian.
You are a dumbass.
They're being mocked. Oh,
we've drafted our own man, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, Alan. No. Alan, did I hear correctly? Did they not just draft their own guy to their own show?
You said, hold on. You said everybody.
We're wrong. We are wrong. We can't pick our own.
No, quit this pretend crap for a minute. At the beginning of this, Tim said everybody was up. It didn't matter what roster they were on. You could pick from either roster.
We're making up our own show. We're not drafting for NXT.
Okay, we need the epic fail trumpet for this one, Ron.
You need to fucking clarify. Are we drafting exclusively from the SmackDown roster, or is everybody available like you said, Tim?
Okay, to break the fourth wall...
But
all you needed to do was push it over.
Have you never watched the WWE draft? Okay, the Raw guys come and they draft people from SmackDown. The SmackDown guys come and they draft people from Raw. It ain't rocket science, genius.
And I watch a real draft like the NFL.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, but nobody's drafted from the CFL, dude. And the Rams weren't picking from the other 31 teams. They were picking from the college
team.
It's
like if the Colts tried drafting Peyton Manning.
Okay, you guys, you're going to get one do-over, and that's it. You can drop from the SmackDown roster.
There goes the fourth wall like the Shockmaster.
You
want to
step aside and let a pro do this, Bug?
You know what? Fuck it.
Aw, someone doesn't want to play along.
Go ahead, make your pick.
Raw chooses a rising up-and-comer that deserves to be on the flagship, John Morrison.
Okay, there we go. John Morrison drafted to Raw from SmackDown. It's going to be an interesting night. It looks like the Raw general managers have had a little bit of a falling out there, Alan.
I'm not sure who is. I mean, is there? I understand that they have some interesting brand advertisings on that show, but I didn't know they were sponsored by Budweiser. Man, how many Stone Cold Weisers are they drinking over there to draft their own thing? But I'm interested to see the big rock star Morrison go back to Monday Night Raw. Obviously, it kills the tag team with R-Truth. Can't call him the other name. But it could be interesting because he made some comments post during the WrestleMania week about how, you know, it's Cena being champ, that's ridiculous, I think I'm champ. He's proven he can carry a belt. I could totally see him moving in to take on Swagger or have him and Jericho go at it, since I don't think they've ever faced each other off on the other shows.
Analysis. Okay, now, hey, look, it's time for the SmackDown guys, and let's see, let's find out who they're going to drop.
How come they get all the beer?
You're on regular network TV. You guys can't sell beer on network TV, man.
420 was last week, Will.
Oh.
But we should make a pick. Do you want me to do it?
Right, yeah, right.
Okay. On behalf of the SmackDown brand, with the departure of two top female talents, SmackDown brand now drafts Gail Kim to our roster.
Whoa, Ellen, the first diva of the night going to the SmackDown roster.
Why not draft Maryse? She's a way better draw for the fanboys to go and get. No slight on Gail Kim. Maybe she'll flourish more over on SmackDown away from whoever's doing the writing on that show. I was a fan of Gail's before she left to go do her walk everybody to the ring thing in TNA, and that hopefully it'll be interesting, your take on it, Tim.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not really sure about this. Gail Kim, as opposed to being a diva, actually can wrestle, so maybe they're trying to build the division a little bit. That remains to be seen. Of course, we're now going back to the Raw side for their next pick.
Are they?
Go ahead, genius. You're the one that knows everything. Go ahead.
No. It's all fairness. It's your turn.
The tension's killing us here, Tim. It's amazing.
Well, I don't know what's going on, but hey, you know, like we said, this is a live show.
This is a peace offering to my GM partner. I would like him to make the next pick.
There's no peace offering about it. I had a 4-year-old dealing with nightmares. I'm sorry. Pick Gail Kim. Who did you pick? Who did you end up picking?
Morrison.
This is going to require 3 picks, but I think it's worth it, and we're going to go with the Hart Foundation. Ooh, this is going to be a tricky one, Alan. I don't know if the board of directors is going to let this one go through, but they want to burn 3 picks on the Hart Dynasty. What are you thinking about that one?
It's a bold move to bring all 3 of them over. It'll be interesting to see if the board approves this.
Well,
it all depends now where the tag champs stay. If the tag champs stay on Raw, then yeah, it's a bold move.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Alan, but we just got a directive from the board. The Hart Dynasty can be drafted to Raw. They only count as 1 pick. So the entire dynasty, 1 pick, moving to Raw.
It is the NWO rule.
That's got to be the NWO rule, like he just said. So that's pretty interesting, kind of impressive. I think it's now SmackDown's turn, and we're waiting to see what they pull out of their bag.
I think they're trying to recoup from that that robbery right there of 3 people on 1 pick. Wow.
Man, I'll tell you, that's like Eric Bischoff in his prime, you know, when he was good. Oh, wait a minute! Here comes the SmackDown guys to the table. Let's see what they do.
Fuck, man, where are we gonna do? They got Natty's titties.
Oh,
that instantly made our show better. Is that we just went to the premier show on all of cable with Natty's titties?
I think that's a bit unfair. Getting a tag team in 1 hit. Raw doesn't even have any tag teams for us to get back. It's ridiculous. But anyway, you know who we got next. Go grab them.
All right. We, the SmackDown GMs, are drafting Christian over to our show.
Ooh, Christian going to SmackDown. Do you think
but
we might...
already drafted Christian tonight.
Oh. RDRs. Christian being drafted to the SmackDown roster. Alan, what do you think? Do you see a possible reuniting of the the brothers?
I could go for that. I could definitely see that down the road. Or you could see Captain Charisma, or as I used to call him in TNA, Captain Cupcake, possibly getting the fire back. Maybe that's what he needs, is to be with Edge to be reminded of, you know, we're multi-time world champions, man. Let's act like it. As opposed to what he's been doing recently.
That's interesting. So let's just take a look at what we got so far on this evening. Two SmackDown: Evan Bourne, John Cena, Gail Kim, and Christian. In retaliation to Raw, Chris Jericho, John Morrison, and the Hart Dynasty are drafted. And now it looks like the Raw side is ready to make their next draft pick.
You want to hold off and let them mull over?
They talked out live. Can't we talk? Can't we talk live on the air? I just said, throwing that out there.
I don't think there's any rules against it. You're on a 2 minute clock, so
Yeah. I don't think we want to go big just yet. Let's keep it small. We'll save it back.
Just in case. I think we should go female, though.
Hmm. This is true.
I think we should go female. Mm-hmm. I smell a diva drive coming up. Alan, what do you think?
I don't know. They could be drafting Michael Cole. I don't know. They can't draft Michael Cole. He's on their show already.
Well, I don't know. They might try to pull a swerve and actually draft Vicky Guerrero. Yeah, I know. Let's see if they've made their decision yet.
You do know dead air is a bad thing in radio, boys.
Yes, I know. But who else are we going to pick? There's nobody else decent on that roster.
Yeah, there is.
Well, then make the pick.
I don't know if you want to.
Go ahead. You make the pick.
Raw would like to have Beth Phoenix.
Fair enough. I'll take her.
Oh, look at that. Alan, the newly crowned WWE Women's Champion, Beth Phoenix, making her way back to Raw. We haven't seen her there in over a year.
That's pretty far out to bring the champ over. And the Glamazon can dominate Monday night once again. And maybe have a possible reunion with Santino if he's not too busy with his unibrow and the Cobra and everything else he's pitching.
Yeah, there you go, and that might be somewhat interesting as we hear the thunder and the lightning in the background. I don't know if that's God's way of saying he likes it or he doesn't like it, but...
I think it's his way of telling me, move this crap along before I bombard your house.
Yeah, there you go. I think the SmackDown guys, yeah, they're at the podium here. They're ready to go.
The SmackDown crew would like to draft to our show the WWE Unified Tag Team Champions, Show Miz.
Oh, talk about retaliation, Alan. The Hart Dynasty going to Raw, and Show Miz going to SmackDown.
And now the Hart Dynasty's sitting there going, damn, now we got nothing to fight for.
Who are they going to fight on Raw?
They could fight Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. We'll take them both out. And Natty will just stand there going, yeah, and you suck at your job. They just hit it on the
air. Stand there going, quit looking at my titties.
Whoa. I think he's the only one that can legally get away with saying that.
Well, Tyson Kidd's the only one who actually can legally get away with saying that. You know, you do know that Tyson Kidd and Natalya Neidhart, they're like engaged, right?
Last I heard, they were, and I'm very happy. They're both very wonderful people.
Yeah, of course, Tyson Kidd, the last man ever trained in the Hart Dungeon. The guy with a 1,010 counters for every hold. out there. Oh, it looks like, yeah, it looks like the Raw guys are ready.
Damn, they took all the good tits, too.
It's the WWE. Buy implants.
We, the SmackDown GMs, will draft...
Get the fuck off the podium.
There's a podium fight going on. Good lord, man.
Wait, did we just go? Crap.
So some decorum, please.
Yeah, it looks like...
We're getting the Raw team's beer, Will.
Yeah, it looks like the officials are getting things sorted out, and the SmackDown guys are being forced to sit back and know their role, as it were, Alan. The Raw guy's stepping up about to make their pick.
We don't want to.
What?
Heck.
Oh.
We of the Raw delegation would like to apologize for the SmackDown GM. Usually when he's in front of a podium, he's more used to saying, "Hello, my name is Will, and I'm an alcoholic."
Whoa.
Yep. It's the truth.
Is there
you say
a
that
pick
like
coming?
It's a bad thing.
Tension's getting pretty heavy here, Tim.
Well, yeah. I don't know who they're planning on picking.
Or are they just going to argue amongst each other? Pick!
The Raw delegation would like to draft The Undertaker.
Oh,
Alan, you heard that. Undertaker going to Raw. What do you think about this one?
It's a risk, because I said, it depends if his moon is in the right alignment, if he's going to go get another tattoo done, is he still dating Michelle McCool? It's a lot of figures. I mean, it's a lot of things to go there. The ratings do move over now because you have the Phenom on Monday Night Raw. It's a great move, but risky.
Definitely a little bit of risk there too. But you got to admit, SmackDown definitely loses something with the departure of The Undertaker. Speaking of SmackDown, looks like they're up to the podium and they're ready to make their next pick.
Are you sure? Are we sure we need to do this? I mean, really, she's...
You're gonna have to. We got no choice. Do it.
Ah, fine. God damn it. All right. Since my friend Mace here is keeping me in the right order, and it is actually our turn, we're going to draft Maurice.
Wow. Oh, Maurice going to SmackDown. She joins Gail Kim, Allen.
Oh, that if you could turn Gail heel, that would be, if you're ever going to set up a Divas tag team division, that's the tag team champs right there. Maurice is an excellent wrestler and has improved week in and week out, and they just need to go ahead and call that move the frickin' French Tickler instead of the French Kiss, man.
Oh, the French Tickler. It's a good thing your wife's not tuned in tonight, I'll tell you. That was a little joke, a very little one. Nobody's going to laugh at it except you, Alan, because that was just for... Yeah.
I don't think any of them have an idea what the heck a French Tickler is, but we distract. So I believe there's four more for each side there. Is that the count on this, Tim? I lost track, unfortunately.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Raw is up next, and this will be...
Five.
Yeah, this will be pick number 6 for Raw. So they currently still have 5 to go right up until now. And let's see who they're going to pick tonight for the next one.
I think we here on Monday Night Raw would like to give someone their very first opportunity to be on the Monday Night Show, and we would like to draft R-Truth.
Ooh, Krispy Kreme to Monday Night Raw. What do you think? He joins John Morrison, the tag team reunited, Alan.
But they got nothing to fight for right now. What are they going to do? Fight with the Hart Dynasty over? We're the better team. We're the better team. I think Monday Night Raw needs to finally... I know they don't acknowledge his previous past in TNA as a 2-time World Heavyweight Champion. I think it's time for the Truth to step up and go after some singles gold.
Well, that's always a possibility. But don't forget, you know, still coming up a little bit later on, we do have the tag team titles up for grabs. The Hart Dynasty taking on Show Miz. Who knows? The unified tags might be coming to Raw.
There you go.
So keep an eye out for that coming up a little bit later on. Time to go for SmackDown. They got four picks left, including this one, and here we go.
The SmackDown delegation willing to bring you the best high-flying action seen in wrestling today. Proud to draft to the SmackDown roster, Yoshitatsu.
I did not see this one coming at all, Tim. Yoshitatsu's kind of been... He was one of the breakout stars of ECW, and now he's moving to the SmackDown brand. Your thoughts on this pick?
Well, geez, you know, definitely interesting. You know, he's going to, depending on how things shape up, he's going to be joining Evan Bourne, and we could be seeing some pretty five-star, high-flying matches coming out of SmackDown in the upcoming year.
That's it. Could be a revitalization of the Cruiserweight division on their part.
Whether or not they bring the title out of retirement, but
they can find the title. That's the hard part of it. Is it in somebody's basement right now, or where is it?
Yeah, we'll have to pull it out of mothballs, shine that sumbitch up real nice, turn her sideways, and stick it right up top of the rope for a ladder match. There you are. A little bit of a swerve there for you, Alan. Oh, it looks like it looks like the other guys are ready. Yeah, the Raw crew, they're all set to make their next draft pick.
We here at the Raw brand, in order to bring you the best show possible on cable television, would like to welcome good old JR back to Raw.
Well, hey, everybody's up for grabs on SmackDown and on Raw. That includes the play-by-play guys, and our first play-by-play guy drafted back to Raw, good old JR. Alan, I can't say this is bad.
I can't say it's bad, but I can't say it's good either. And is there some sort of medical clearance that we missed in this, that he was cleared by the WWE to come back to active duty, or did they win the negotiations because of the rumors going on that he may be going to the other company? I'm guessing the raw people have got the stroke, as they say in the business.
Well, you know, I guess you could take a look at it. Pending free agency, they traded for the rights to negotiate for JR.
I'm surprised that they waste a pick on an announcer. Why not have gone after another top wrestler? I got into an argument on Tuesday nights at WWE Radio of, do you honestly tune in to watch the who's announcing the show, or are you tuning in for the ring action?
Well, there's the thing. Once every now and then, you have to admit, along comes a play-by-play guy who actually enhances the in-ring action and enhances the matches and helps to really tell that story that the wrestlers are telling. And you've got guys like Gordon Soley and the late, great Ed Whalen from Stampede Wrestling. And, of course, good old JR Jim Ross is another one of those guys that fits into that category. He helps make a good wrestling match a great one.
And we won't have to hear the word vintage anymore. Praise the Lord of wrestling!
So keep your fingers crossed that this trade for drafting for the right to negotiate with JR proves fruitful for the Raw brand. Okay, yeah, it looks like SmackDown's ready to make their seventh pick.
We here at the SmackDown brand are going to draft Michael... Sorry. No, I do believe the man we will be drafting, Zack Ryder. Woo, 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 you know it.
What the fuck are you doing, Will? Fucking Zack Ryder, you know how much I hate that fucking music.
Fight me.
You're fired after this, you prick.
Definite
hostility. You better make it up with your last pick, man. I'll tell you what.
Wow.
A little bit of dissension right now in the SmackDown brand. I don't know. To tell you the truth, I think that that one guy is only picking Zack Ryder because he gets Jones. He Jones for the for his intro entrance music.
Now, does the manager come with in this pick, or is the manager a separate item here with Zack Ryder? I don't know if we have to get clearance from the board on that one.
Well, the managers, I think they're part and parcel, if you ask me. I mean, why not? Right, I'm pretty sure that the board would say, yeah, what the hell? She's arm candy anyway.
It's definitely interesting on this show, folks. Never a dull moment. Unfortunately, like I said, Mason will not exactly the happiest of people right now with that trade, but we'll see. At that pick, is the Raw guys ready to go again? I can't see them.
Hang on a second. Okay, there's a bit of a delay because apparently I'm getting word that the Raw GMs have a trade to propose once everything's all said and done. It looks like they were just conferring for a second there. But yeah, no, they're stepping up to the microphone. Okay, so it's time for Raw's next draft pick.
We here at the Raw delegation would like to restore the Intercontinental Championship to where it belongs by drafting Drew McIntyre.
That's a very good pick, because now hopefully you lost show Miz to the other channel, and the U.S. title went with him, so now you brought the Intercontinental title back to Monday Night Raw. Tim, interesting pick.
Yeah, well, all I can see is that we're going to have a lot of decisions overturned on Raw coming up as far as the Intercontinental Championship victories and not-so-victories turnout. You know what I'm saying?
Well, after all, he is the chosen one, as he likes to be called, unlike someone who used to call himself that who's no longer here, at least on this product.
There you go. Yeah, and you know, as far as Drew McIntyre's ring entrance music, don't you think that kind of sounds a little bit like something that I don't know, Metallica would have written and recorded?
You never know.
Get destroyed. So
yeah, they seem to be happy on the Raw side right now. They've got some interesting moves going there. Let's see what SmackDown's got to do in retort, as they say in the industry.
In retaliation, yeah. See if they're going to be catching a receipt. Here they are. They're at the mic. It looks like they're about to make their next pick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the SmackDown roster would like to announce the signing of one of the top heavyweight talents in this business today, Randy Orton.
Whoa.
I did not see that coming, man. They grabbed the cute cuddly... I'm sorry, I can't call him the Viper. He's the cute cuddly teddy bear of wrestling, man. I think that's the dumbest nickname in wrestling. He's the Viper. He's the Anaconda. Nobody ever gets called the cute cuddly teddy bear. It's interesting now because you've got Cena over there, and now you've got Orton basically following behind. So now you got instant feud right there for the belt, Tim.
Quite possibly, quite potentially, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how things work out. But yeah, I did not see this coming at all. The choice made by SmackDown brand to pick up Randy Orton, and they look like they're ready ahead of time. Yep, the Raw guys are back up at the podium.
The Raw brand, in continuing to bring credibility back to title belts, would like to welcome Jack Swagger to Raw.
It's the all American. I was stuck in a loop there. Jack Swagger, the All American, going to Raw. What do you think, Alan?
it's a smart move. Bring the All-American American where he can hopefully get a smile back on that face, man. He looks really pouty being on SmackDown and maybe being on USA Network where he can sit in the locker room and go, yeah, I get my show gets followed by Law and Order and the Risk of Hargate.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Ever since he won the world title, he just doesn't seem to have that swagger anymore, Alan.
He put on his big boy pants, as they like to say. He turned it in all seriousness. I'm the champ. Champs don't do push-ups on the way to the ring. Maybe he will here. Maybe he will here. Who knows?
The big boy pants. So no more Pampers.
No. Maybe he loses the ring singlet, or maybe he can, I don't know, maybe he'll get a wardrobe change over here. I think is SmackDown ready to go?
Looks like they're just about coming up. Yeah, there they are.
And this is their last selection, if I'm correct.
Are you sure we can get away with this?
Quite easily.
Alright.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been sitting on this one all night. We believe that this is going to be the signing that is going to change the face of Friday Night SmackDown and will bring a lot of credibility to our brand, as well as bringing you the best in-ring action out of all shows, both in our company and outside of our own company. Will?
We, the SmackDown GMs, proudly would like to welcome none other than Triple H to the SmackDown brand.
Oh, there's a major turn of events. Triple H going to the SmackDown brand. Alan, I didn't see this as happening. I didn't see this as possible.
I'm very surprised that they pulled the Triple H card out of the deck there. Obviously, you gotta take an account real fast to his physical condition after the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. The movie that he's going to do that Batista got taken out of. You're gonna have to wait about a month or two for him to finish all that craziness, but in the long run, you've now got a real former world heavyweight champion heavy roster with Triple H, Randy Orton, and the champ John Cena over there right now.
Wow, this is really starting to shape up to be a really stacked card in favor of SmackDown, but Raw doesn't look like it's hurting any of themselves, to tell you the truth, with the choices that they've made tonight. Raw has one last pick to go. I heard that they have a trade proposal that they want to swing after all of the picks are said and done. But taking a look, the draft choices, all of the guys going to and gals going to SmackDown, starting off the night was Evan Bourne, then John Cena, Gail Kim, Christian, Show Miz, Maurice, Yoshitatsu, Zack Ryder, Randy Orton, and Triple H. And then to Raw, to this point, we've got Chris Jericho, John Morrison, The Hart Dynasty, Beth Phoenix, Undertaker, R-Truth, good old JR Jim Ross, Drew McIntyre, and Jack Swagger. And yeah, the Raw guys are up at the podium now. They're about ready to make their last pick, Alan.
Well, let's see what they got. Let's see what they got. They got to have something that's going to top Triple H moving brand, man.
And this might be a tough one. They've already stolen The Undertaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, representing Raw is difficult. We are expected to bring the highest level of entertainment to our fans. And as the flagship show, we are not allowed to disappoint. Since we no longer have Triple H, I think it's only fair that we bring WWE Raw an R rating. We draft Edge.
Oh, Alan, there goes the thoughts and ideas that Edge and Christian might wind up reuniting, with Edge returning to Raw, the rated R superstar, back to Monday nights.
And if anybody thought Jericho had a straight shot at a world title match, there just went out the window, because you can reignite the Jericho Edge feud. It's two of the top stars in the company the last couple of years just basically walked by each other and high-fived, going, yep, I'll be watching you on this night, I'll be watching you on that. Now, how I missed the pre-show chatter on this. How is this trade working, Tim? Is this for like a hockey puck bag or some old WWF ice cream bars? What's going on here?
You and your hockey, I swear to God, if I didn't know any better, I'd say you were Canadian, for crying out loud, Alan.
Just my religion. I can't help it.
Well,
seriously,
I'll tell you,
man, what's the trade rule here? Is this ice cream bars? Are they trading bras? Are they trading Mike Chioda? Or what are they trading?
We're just waiting for the trade proposal to come in from the Raw side now as we speak. While we're waiting for word on the trade proposal, let's just take a look at the rosters here. You got to admit, Raw is looking very, very strong with the following 10 draft choices. Jericho Morrison, The Hart Dynasty, Beth Phoenix, Undertaker, R-Truth, Drew McIntyre, Jack Swagger, Edge, and the negotiating rights for Jim Ross.
And they got younger. They really got younger here. Nothing against Triple H, and I know I'll get yelled at by Spug, but it's a good move for him to go to the other show. Like we had said earlier, with Cena getting some revitalization of his character, Triple H may have gotten a little stale with the whole Generation X, we're together, we're not together. Now that the Shawn Michaels thing is put on the shelf, let the game breathe on his new thing. So it looks like, do we have the trade here, guys? Is this ready to go?
We have the trade proposal.
Let's hear it. Bring it on.
We are willing to offer you Edge, Cody Rhodes, and Chavo Guerrero for Trips and Showmiz.
Whoa, Trips and Showmiz for all those other guys.
Wow. I think, and that was, how long does Mason Will have to retort to decide yay or nay on the trade here? I don't, how long have they got there, Kamish?
And we are willing to throw in Divas Champion Eve.
Eve Torres also put on the table.
I don't know about this.
Well, as you know, SmackDown can either accept the trade or they can tailor it and alter it and make substitutions to see if the Raw brand will accept it or not. We just have to wait to hear from the SmackDown guys.
Can we get the people listed again, please?
Eve Torres, WWE Divas Champion, Chavo Guerrero, Cody Rhodes, and Edge.
I'm going to deny that trade based on the level of talent. It's not a fair trade. If we were to trade our talent off to Raw, we would be taking things at a loss.
Okay, so you drafted Gail Kim, but you don't want her to have a championship to fight for.
Exactly.
Things could be rectified at a later point in time, but that trade is extremely unfair to SmackDown.
Looks like they're rejecting the trade, Alan.
Interesting. Now, I want to know, does SmackDown have one that they've got something cooking that we haven't heard about? Some names that haven't moved that I thought were going to move, Tim. I'm not going to mention them because they may be brought up here in a couple seconds.
Well, to tell you the truth, Alan, throughout the entire WWE draft here, I'm kind of surprised that we didn't hear the names Kofi Kingston or Montel Vontavious Porter.
I didn't want to bring them up because they may be brought up right now by Mason Will. We'll see. Yeah. Does SmackDown have anything going, or are they done?
That's a good question. Let's find out going down to SmackDown here.
We would like to offer up a very simple trade. We would be willing to depart with Triple H in favor of bringing back Edge and Chris Jericho to the SmackDown brand.
Wow, an interesting two.
As much as our trade to you thought was unfair, that's extremely unfair because you're taking two top name talents for one. Here is our final trade offer. We will offer you Eve Torres, a women's champion, and Edge for Triple H.
Ooh, Alan, that's an interesting proposal right there. SmackDown's trade was rebuffed, but a counter-proposal was offered. Obviously, the Raw brand really, really wants to keep Triple H on their team.
Oh, if they wanted him, it's interesting to see now here what Will and Mace are going to do. Are they willing to depart with the 232-time World Heavyweight Champion?
I thought it was 233, but then again, I lost count after 75. Let's find out. Yeah, it's time for the SmackDown guys to come up with their decision on this one.
Would the Raw delegation be willing to include CM Punk into that offer?
You're really trying for
sure,
Punk.
Sure, you can have your own guy.
Oh, good point. It's all that fear that's going through.
That was your offer. You got it.
Yeah, he got it. You got your own guy.
Definite confusion on the floor.
These guys were allowed one mulligan.
you got yours. I never heard CM Punk mention. I don't think Tim did either, and the commission didn't either, so move along.
I guess they had one more person to offer up or request or something like that, and we're still waiting. I think that they're goofing around is finally finished with, and they're going to actually be legit here.
Would you be willing to include Sheamus into that deal?
Ooh.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
That's an interesting proposal there. Sheamus being requested for the SmackDown brand. I don't know how the Raw guys are going to respond to that. Do you think that they're going to be willing to give up Eve and Edge and Sheamus just to get Triple H back?
I'm not 100% sure. Oh, wait a minute. Spud's got a response.
Only if you are willing to part with CM Punk. Not the entire Straight Edge Society, just Punk.
Ooh, so now counter proposal. For two deal.
There you go. So Raw is seeking not only Triple Edge, but CM Punk as well for Even Edge and what's his name?
Sheamus.
I don't know. Let's see what Mace and Will are going to do here. It's getting real interesting real quick.
Looks like they're conferring.
Yes, we are.
I think they're confirmed by paper, rock, scissors. Tim, I can't be sure on that.
God always wins.
I don't know if that's rock, paper, scissors, or if they're just showing each other their techniques, Alan, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's obvious that Raw wants Trips, and we want Edge. We also want to keep Punk. We do need a women's champ. I'll see. Before anything solid, I'll see what Mace thinks. But I'm thinking Trips and Show, half of the tag champions, for Edge and Eve. And I don't know how badly Mace wants Sheamus.
Half of the tag champs does us no good. If you're not willing to part with Punk, then we will take Christian instead and take Christian back. We will give you Sheamus, Edge, and Eve for Triple H and Christian. That is our final offer.
Well, there's the ultimatum, Alan.
They used the word final, man. That says it all, kids. What are they going to do?
They seems pretty adamant with what he wants to say.
As much as SmackDown does require a women's champion, we are not willing at this time to depart with such talent. We apologize to the Raw delegation, but we are going to deny this offer.
Wow, every trade's a nod, Tim. Amazing.
Absolutely. Every last one of them shot down. And I got to tell you, we got some movement here going on the SmackDown side. What's happening?
It's obvious we each want at least one guy. Let's keep this real simple. One for one. Trips for Edge.
Done.
We accept.
Wow.
Is that okay with you, Mace?
I think you're crazy, but okay.
Okay, there it is. The trade sees Triple H going back to Raw and Edge going back to SmackDown.
It's like it never happened. Luggage never even got loaded on the plane.
You think about that. Man, I'll tell you, that's something else. Well, let's take a look at after the trade and all of the draft picks. SmackDown's roster still pretty strong-looking with Evan Bourne, John Cena, Gail Kim, Christian, Show Miz, Maurice, Yoshi, Tatsu, Zack Ryder, Randy Orton, and Edge. Looking like a pretty solid show, Alan.
I'd be happy with it. I definitely would be happy with it.
And, of course, to Raw, Chris Jericho, John Morrison, The Hart Dynasty, Beth Phoenix, The Undertaker, R-Truth, Drew McIntyre, Jack Swagger, Triple H, and the negotiation rights for good old JR Jim Ross. Both, I can't declare one solid winner. I think both shows win on this one.
I think the fans win, man, because they get to watch all this fun stuff, and they got to listen to us act like total morons, Tim.
There you go. It was a lot of fun. There it is. That wraps up the 2010 WTR Mock Draft. Up next, everybody, WTR Quick Hits to end the night. And we want you to stick around for that because we're going to have a little bit of fun. Then we'll get the hell out of here and go to bed because it's past your bedtime. You shouldn't be up so late. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Night, them rival wound up too tight.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be simple. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Panic Missed Out.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Bob the Fire Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right now. This is Mace, and if you're hearing my voice right now, then you are tuned in to one of the great programs right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if you're hearing my voice and you're not listening to a program here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, then damn, you got Superman-like hearing. Very good friend of mine. Talk. 2, 3. Mm-hmm.
Miss Old Bammy once again, and I think it's a sin. Yeah, Sweet Home Alabama. Lynyrd Skynyrd. And every time I hear this song now after the movie Con Air came out, I can't help but picture John Leguizamo, or whatever his last name is, defining irony. Alan Mojic.
It's Steve Buscemi who does it.
Steve Buscemi. So you remember what I'm talking about, define irony.
Oh, yeah, define irony about a group of convicts dancing around a plane about a band defined by an accident that killed half of them in a plane crash.
It's something like that,
wow.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this quick hit thing last week, but I'm going to step back and let the real crew that run this show of excellence on Sunday nights. Looks like I got the first question here, and it goes to Spug.
Well, before you get going there, we actually have to introduce the segment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so basically, everybody, what Ellen is trying to say is, it's time for WTR's Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Yeah, so now that you know how the game is played, Alan, take two sets of questions for two of the guys, and okay. You can ask those questions. You got Spug and you got Omega, and then I'll ask Mace and Will their questions. So why don't we...
So Ellen got Raw and you got SmackDown?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so now that the very sexily voiced lady has talked, we're going to go to the angry man. Who I'm not sure if he's a fan of this guy, but I gotta ask this one, Spug. The rumors have been going on the internet for the last 48 hours. In your opinion, do you believe that tonight was the final time that you will see Dave Bautista on a WWE pay-per-view?
God, I hope so. I really hope so. And I was having this conversation with a friend of mine earlier. For everything that Batista has in physical size and strength, he lacks for in ring prowess and on mic skills. And for all that time he spent with Triple H and with Ric Flair, and not being able to cut at least a decent 30-second promo, the dude has no business being in Hollywood or in a ring. Please go the fuck away.
Whoa. That was... Could you please quit beating around the bush and tell us exactly what you really think?
He needs to stop holding back. It's amazing how much he holds back.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. He just, you know, he's got to learn to quit disseminating and just let everybody know how he feels. But moving on, here we go. Mace, first question of the night goes out for you. Out of all of the WWE releases, which one is the most shocking to you?
That's bloody obvious. Mickie James.
Yeah.
The girl's been working her ass off for many, many months, and she gets fired because she missed the bus.
Yeah,
it's
there you go.
Biggest load of shit I've ever heard.
Tong Funaki.
Okay, there you go. Have you heard reports that people were planning to riot
during the pay-per-view tonight and during Raw tomorrow night. Mickie James fans, of course, in her hometown.
I did hear that, and to be honest, I'm praying that they somehow get a Where Is Mickie chant going. I just want to hear it because I'm going to piss myself laughing.
Well, not necessarily Where Is Mickie, but maybe We Want Mickie. I don't know. That might be interesting.
Yeah, whatever works.
Yeah, something like that. So, moving on, I do believe the next question will go to Omega. And, Alan, that one's yours.
All right, Omega. As you were watching on TNA Impact, Captain 420 himself, Rob Van... Ah, crap, I lost my train of thought. Him. He shocked the world, didn't hook a leg to do it, as AJ Styles complained about, rumor backstage. What does Rob Van Dam winning the TNA World title mean to you, sir?
Oh, boy, here we go. Well, if it will mean the world if it lasts more than 3 weeks.
Clean up.
Let's say
three.
That for Saw. Secondly, it is somewhat... It's gratifying. I mean, to know what an amazing talent he is, and to know just how little credit WWE gave him for years, despite the best crowd reactions and some of the best matches every night. That I'm glad that he's at least somewhere where he finally can he can be the athlete, he can be the wrestler that he's supposed to be. For me, it means. He is finally being appreciated, and he's finally going to get to showcase himself the way that Rob Van Dam needs to.
Well, that was a very nicely put and detailed answer, don't you think, Alan?
Wow. And he kept his train of thought, which is hard to do when you talk about Rob Van Dam. Yeah, that's his name. Yeah.
No. It would have been funnier if you said Rob Van... Oh, damn, what's his last name?
I'm totally lost on it, man. I talked about it Tuesday night on OW Radio, and you guys brought it up here. You know, Hogan Goldberg, many people in the business say, was one of the first nails in the WCW coffin. Could this possibly be a turn for TNA, or is this also the first nail in the way? Or is this the way to get Paul Heyman off his couch and go, see, Paul, look, we gave your guy the world title. Come and work for us, pretty please.
Can I speak my TNA piece right here, since it's, like, in the moment?
Oh,
no.
I know, man. Let the man talk. He's got another couple seconds. Let him bash if he wants to bash, or praise if he wants to praise. Speak, man.
Now, TNA saw blood in the water last Monday. When you know, Sunday night, the report came down, the Raw roster wouldn't be there. It'd be a slapdash, SmackDown-centered show. They knew that that was the weakest WWE was ever going to be. And that Monday night, the whole fucking show was never truer. That whole thing was built around the guy they knew they could count on and they knew would deliver attention and great matches. You know, because you can't put on Jeff Hardy because he could go to jail at any minute. The worst RVD is going to get happen to him is he's going to get pulled over once in a while. But they knew that WWE, I mean, between a thin roster and a joke guest host, they knew that was the time, that was the moment to strike. You know, and Raw's ratings sucked for Raw, and TNA picked up some ratings for it. And the dude wrestled four matches in just over 24 hours. Fucking deserves anything TNA can throw at him.
There you go. All you got to do is ask Rob Van Dam what time it is, and it's always going to be 4:20. But, yeah. I just got a kick out of the American legal system. I mean, what a joke that is. You know, it just made me think of it because of what you said, Omega, about, you know, what's going to happen is it'll get pulled over now and then. I mean, come to Canada and smoke your cannabis. It's not even a fucking misdemeanor up here, kids. Wow. There are guys still in Leavenworth doing time for a seed. Oh, my God. Ah, Will.
What?
Would you be sad to see John Cena traded? Wait a minute. Is that the one? Yeah, that is. Would you be sad to see John Cena traded to SmackDown?
Not one bit.
You can end your boycott of Raw, eh?
Eh, I would have boycotted Raw tonight had it not been for that ingenious fucking ending for the Last Man Standing match.
That was pretty cute. I gotta admit it. There you go. Alright, back to Spud for your second question, and I hand the mic over to Alan Wojcik.
Alright, and this follows possibly one of the worst guest hosts in WWE history, Will Forte, Kristen Wiig, and Ryan Phillippe of the SNL-geared movie MacGruber.
MacGruber,
yeah. Alright, Spud. If you're a Saturday Night Live fan, the old school or the new, who is your favorite Saturday Night Live performer of all time?
Belushi.
Old school.
Wow.
Old school. John Belushi.
And anyone in the newer regime, like a Tina Fey or...
Tina Fey was good. Kattan and Ferrell were good. But I grew up on the Saturday Night Lives with David Spade and Sandler and Farley.
So, and I grew up with guys like Belushi and Murray.
Aykroyd. The Belushi, Aykroyd, Murray episodes were some of the better written ones. But the funnier ones were the Sandler, Farley, Spade era ones.
Oh, man, I don't know. This is going to be a case of you and I are going to agree to disagree because this is not an argument. It's just a simple case of different, if you will, different eras.
It's a different era, but I can appreciate the comedy of Belushi and Aykroyd and all that. Like, the Coneheads, the Samurai, Sushi Samurai
or the Samurai Taylor. You know.
Yeah, with Belushi, the Blues Brothers skit, which originated on SNL, when they were dancing around in the bee costumes. That was funny. Today's SNL is not nearly as funny as it was at one point.
Oh, not in the least bit. But the only thing I've got to say is, Jane, you ignorant slut.
I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not.
I'm Chubby Chase, and you're not. Jamie,
you know what?
I have an answer.
I do.
You'll
have
do an anything to get into Walter Cronkite's pants, won't you?
Yes. And I have an honest answer for you. Phil Hartman.
Oh God,
yeah.
Rest in peace.
Amen.
That dude was funny no matter what he did.
I loved his Bill Clinton.
Phil Hartman, one of Canada's funnier exports, I have to admit it. It's a bitch what his ex-wife did to him. Now that we brought things down a little bit, let's bring it back up. I'm going to actually skip down the list here. Mace, I'm not going to ask you your second question until afterwards. I'm going to hold this one back. I'm going straight to Will for your question number two. What's your favorite Mickey James moment?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oof. I don't know. Her kissing Trish Stratus was pretty hot.
Ooh, hot lesbian action apps.
And any time she was in yellow made my night.
Do you think that...
Hey, it's I just wanted to call in and say, oh my God, Mickey's wearing yellow.
Can I say both? The fact that I am. Can I just imagine they were combined? She was wearing yellow while kissing Trish Stratus.
Oh, she's a crazy stalker. Tim, don't go dying on us live on air, dude.
We'll give Tim a moment there. I get my last Omega question. The rumors on the internet about Mark Henry, true or false, apparently he attacked a fan on the overseas tour. Were you surprised that Mark Henry threw a drink on a fan rather than some chicken legs?
Not at all, because Mark Henry would never waste a chicken leg like that.
And Alan, I was trying to tell you earlier, a good buddy of mine, Eugene, actually knows Mark Henry personally. I've talked to the man a few times. When we joke about him liking KFC, it's no joke. Dude loves his KFC.
No wonder he's the world's strongest man. He's carrying a franchise on his back to every city, probably.
Bada bing, bada boom. Drum roll, please.
Suppose the guy they'll send a bucket of chicken to him when he's in town.
We've done it. We've sent him 2 or 3 buckets of chicken. He likes the grilled.
And I'll guarantee you, he ate every single piece by himself.
Spug, talk to your buddy, man. Tell him that if he comes on the show, we'll give Mark Henry some chicken.
Tried. I offered him. I'm like, dude, we will go to KFC and I will pay your tab. He would
the Mark Henry tab.
I would pay the Mark Henry tab at KFC.
Would you pay Mark Henry's tab, or would you rather have paid Yokozuna in his prime?
Mark Henry.
At least they haven't had to cart Henry out on a forklift.
Not
this
yet.
True.
But what was Mark Henry's response to your request?
He cordially denied. He said he didn't like KFC that much.
Okay, that just really hurts. That's like a shot. Yeah, I don't want to go on your radio show because I don't like KFC as much enough to do that. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Last question of the night goes to Mace.
Why am I going to regret this one?
Yeah, I think we're all going to regret this one. That's, don't you think so, Rock? Anyway, here's the question. Say some magical, mystical genie were to zap you and turn you into a 16-year-old for like 3 weeks.
What the hell?
Okay. So, you know, just think of like Freaky Friday or whatever. You know, you're yourself, but you're put into a 16-year-old body.
Big with Tom Hanks.
For 3 weeks. Okay. This is one fucked up genie. I don't know why. Maybe you made a wish in your dreams and he heard it or something. But while you were doing all your teen years to change your future and make it into something that you want it to be, you meet a really hot 15-year-old chick who was sexually active and coming on to you. Would you do her?
What kind of a fucked up question is this?
What the fuck? Yeah. Did you run out of ideas?
Apparently they ran out of TNA questions.
God, what is this? The Joey Buttafuoco Memorial question? Holy God.
He bitches and complains when we ask him TNA questions, so we came up with something different for him tonight.
So you brought him the jailbait question.
We did, yeah. We pulled the jailbait question.
Yeah. I'm going to deny that on the grounds that I am now 26 years old and these podcasts might one day be used in a law trial.
Only if they're not used against me first.
Yeah, don't forget, you're 16.
You'd be the precursor to the trial, Spug, trust me. I'm sure we'll all be going down for something you suggested.
No. Bear in mind, you're a 16-year-old when this happens.
I still refuse to answer that question. That is just fucked up, Tim. Go to your stash of backup questions, even the TNA ones, and ask me one of those. I am not answering that shit.
I'll go down.
Okay. Hold on. If you worked it, okay.
No. Wait. Hold it. No.
I'll go down
no,
your path.
No. Spug, you are not allowed to touch this question.
I have a question to yours.
Okay.
Is she hot enough where I'd want to lick her asshole?
She got really nice big titties.
She have natty titties, that's the question.
I'm not going there.
She's got natty titties, I'm in.
Told you, you're not allowed to touch that question.
I think legally nobody's allowed to touch that
question. If she has natty titties, then yeah, I'll go with it, yes. But if she doesn't have natty titties, nah.
It makes me wonder if natty's titties were natty's titties at 16.
Omega. Omega, ask it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Mace, if you worked for TNA and a genie turned you into a 16-year-old,
he If I worked for TNA and Genie turned me into a 16-year-old, I'd be wondering what the fuck I'm doing working in TNA.
You'd be amazing, Fred.
Okay, if you worked for TNA and were turned into a 16-year-old, would you be afraid of Rob Feinstein?
Oh,
and you all say, I'm going to hell. I don't believe in hell, so I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Good lord.
Alright.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. Learned a very valuable lesson yesterday.
Please elaborate.
It's time for a spook story. It is time for a spook story. Learned a very valuable lesson yesterday. I started my my MMA training last week. If all goes well, in October, I will have my first amateur MMA fight. And so, actual training. And so we were, I'm with my trainer yesterday, and I have no clue how to actually punch. Like, a real punch. I have been programmed in my head for years and years and years to throw a wrestling punch. And so I threw my first punch, and I caught him right on the chin, but it was a wrestling punch. And my trainer looked at me and goes, what are you, a fucking pussy? Hit me. And so we're doing the jabs, and we're getting to the point where my jabs are decent. And he says, all right, we're going to do 3 1-minute rounds of just jabbing. I said, all right, and we're actually in an octagon, which is it's honestly more intimidating than being inside of a steel cage. So we're going around and we're jabbing, and I'm catching him a couple of times. He's catching me. And I throw one, and I drop my hands. And if you know the first rule of boxing or fighting, the cardinal sin is dropping your hands. And he popped me on the chin once, and he says, don't drop your fucking hands. Keep them up. So we're going and going, and I threw another one, and I dropped my hands again. And he popped me on the chin a little bit harder. He says, don't drop your fucking hands. We get to the third one-minute round, and I threw a jab, and I thought I'd get cocky and throw a hook and drop both of my hands again. And I saw 3 fists fly at me. This is 1, 2, 3. And next thing I know, I was on my ass against the side of the cage with him standing over me and goes, we learned 2 things today, didn't we? 1, don't drop your fucking hands. 2, getting hit in the face fucking sucks.
Don't drop your hands, because you'll get hit in the face.
So, then he says, all right, we're going to work on the 1-2-3 combination. He said, we're going to do 2 jabs, and then we're going to kick. And we're going to start with shin kicks. So I start doing that, and that's all right. And he says, all right, we're going to move up on the body. We're going to go thigh kicks. So you're going to jab twice, and you're going to throw a thigh kick. All right. I can do that. Now, if any of you have ever seen me, I'm about 5'8". On a good day. I'm built like Taz. I'm short, stocky, and you know, low to the ground. So my legs aren't very long. He says, all right, we're gonna jab, and we're gonna do a body kick. Alright, I can do that. So we start doing routines of those three, and I'm fine with it. And he says, alright, here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna jab, and then you're gonna shin kick, and then you're gonna jab, and you're gonna throw a thigh kick. Then you're going to throw 2 jabs, and you're going to throw a body kick. And then I want you to throw 2 jabs, and you're going to throw a head kick. And I want you to kick as hard and as high as you can. And already in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this is a very horrible idea. Because it's going to end one of 2 ways. I'm either going to miss and kick my trainer right in the face.
Good! He deserves it, the bastard!
Or I'm going to fall on my ass. So I get through the first 3 kicks just fine. I throw the 2 jabs and I go to throw the head kick, whiff the bag completely, spin around and fall directly on my ass in front of the bag. And the trainer looks at me and goes, perhaps short people shouldn't head kick after all. So that was my introduction into the world of MMA Saturday morning.
All I can say is I'm glad I'm not short and don't have short legs.
No. And you don't drop your hands.
I never drop my guard.
I tell you what, though. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
How tall are you, Spud?
I'm literally 5'8 on a good day.
Oh, my God. You are a short little bitch.
I am.
It doesn't make me feel so bad about my height.
I'm about 5'7 normally, so yeah.
I used to be 6 feet tall until I started working with concrete.
And for all of your enjoyment, for all of you who know me, I get to give up smoking.
Oh.
I get to give up my caffeine. I have to give up my pop.
Yeah.
And by October I will have dropped 50 pounds. They want to drop me from 240 to 190.
Okay, that's it. You're off the show until October.
Oh, my God. It's going to be like dealing with a fucking female 24-7.
Oh, my God. It's going to be like dealing with a female on the rag 24-7.
We're going to have to nickname Spug Ragging Bull.
I'm still allowed to drink.
We're all going to die!
I'm still allowed to drink tea, which has caffeine in it, so that's not horrible, but the sugar and the carbohydrates and stuff have to go, so.
Oh, fuck. Next thing you know, you're going to be on the show. Hello, everybody. This is Spug. I'm just enjoying tea.
Oh, my God. He's going to start stuttering like Crowley.
Oh. We have an Australian, a Canadian, an Englishman, a Floridian, and a redneck.
A redneck.
So.
Whoa. I'm a New Yorker who lives in Florida. Don't call me a Floridian, man.
Yeah, no, Omega lives in the penis state, too.
Oh, he does. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the redneck instead?
He has to buy Tampa, too.
No, I do not. In Southwest Florida.
Oh, you're in Southwest Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were up by the Panhandle.
Uh-uh. I just go to a show there once in a while.
But he happens to be transplanted from a redneck state.
Wait a second. The Panhandle of Florida, isn't that the part that's shaped like the scrotum?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to Geography Lessons with Tim Stein.
But yes, if all goes according to plan...
Written by Cindy Sin.
If all goes according to plan, you will all get a video in October on the Wild Talk Radio website of me getting my ass kicked in my first amateur MMA fight.
Oh, fuck, I'll pay for that any day of the week, watching you get your ass kicked.
Someone's been watching my Christmas list.
There is a Santa Claus!
For everybody who's like, God, I wish that guy would just get his ass kicked already. Well, it's gonna happen.
It's about to happen, and we'll have it here free on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, guys, it's been different. It's been fun in points, and it's been a shitty pay-per-view, but... Next week is another week, and who knows, maybe we'll smarten up and give you a real show. But don't hold your breath.
Oh, we never do.
There you go. So, final thoughts of the night. I just want to remind everybody, Tuesday night, tune in to OWW Radio, OWW Radio with Nick Anthony and your host, Alan Wojcik. I'm going to get yelled at for that one too, Alan.
Oh, God.
So, do you think Nick Anthony's going to get really pissed off with how we started this show?
No doubt about it. I'm going to catch some flack for this one, but hey, I'm not sure if he's going to be there this week. He may still be recovering from the Cauliflower Alley Club trip. He may not. I'm not sure.
I see. Well, I'm thinking we should get his PayPal account and I'll PayPal him 50 cents so he can go buy a sense of humor.
Ooh.
If he was mad at how we started the show, he's gonna be mad at my final thought. So
Ooh, Nick Anthony, don't be a coward. Be a man and accept my challenge. Ooh yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh my god. I wonder if I can find this really quickly. That just reminded me of something. When we interviewed the one and only Macho Man, Randy Savage, he had a great quote talking about Hulk Hogan. And while I look for this, I'm going to go around the horn and let everybody do their final thoughts. We'll start with Will. Will, go ahead.
I got my $75. I'm going to go ahead and go through with that thing in May, and now I just need to find knee pads and see how badly I get my ass kicked.
Okay, now I just have to say with that one, I'm proud of you, Will. Good. I'm glad that you decided to go for it. Omega.
I learned recently that the geek convention I am attending in July will actually have wrestling matches at the show, and I will endeavor to get something for the Wild Talk Radio Network to all watch and enjoy.
Ah, sounds like a lot of fun. All right. Mace.
Two quick things. One, I have downloaded some Kaiju Big Battle.
Yes!
To which, hopefully, if my other co-hosts of OTL have been able to get it as well and watch it, we might discuss it on the show. And also, I am currently secretly in talks to try and bring some big-name guests to this network.
Mate.
But no names. Get it now.
Not even no names. Don't even go any further than that, because
I'm not listening. So
yeah, it's the WTR drinks.
Like I said, I'm not naming names, but something is slightly in the works.
Let's just say they're huge, brother. Oh yeah. That being said, all right, go ahead, Spug. If I can impart a word of wisdom on Will for your, if you're going to wrestling school, I believe it was.
It's a like one day sort of training seminar thing. I don't know if they'll keep doing it, but
if I can impart a word of wisdom on you that my trainer told me, keep your fucking mouth shut and your ears open.
Will do.
That's the best thing I can tell you. And enjoy it. Have fun. Because if you're not there to have fun, then there's no point in being there.
All right.
But with that being said, this is the Spud Guy saying thank you for listening to the Extreme Rules post-pay-per-view wrap-up show for Timmy Stein, Alan Wojcik, Omega, Mace, Will, and myself. Good night, everybody, and fuck Mav.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.